This conference will now be recorded.
All right, great. Well, welcome, everybody. We appreciate your time in joining today's informational call for the latest ACT Early Ambassador opportunity. My name is Adrienne Griffin, and I'm a project director here at the Association of University Centers on Disabilities, and we're really pleased to have 23 states with us on the call today. I wanted just to introduce the CDC NCPDDD staff on the line with us, as well as the MCHB HRSA staff on the line. So I have Katie Green and Robin Chiloff on the line with us. So Katie, I don't know if you wanted to say a few words at this time.
Sure. I've had the opportunity to work with and to meet many of you, but it sounds like there's a few new voices on the line, which is always excellent. And again, I'm Katie Green. I'm a health communication specialist with CDC's Learn the Signs Act Early program, and I am the point of contact, the technical monitor for the Act Early Ambassador program. And we're very excited about this upcoming fourth cohort of ambassadors. Joining me soon, I'm sure, is my supervisor, Becky Wolf. She is the team lead for Learn the Signs Act Early, so she might just get a chance to pop into the call and say her name as well.
Great. Well, thanks, Katie. Robin, did you want to say a few words of welcome?
Oh, sure. So, hi, this is Robin Schulhoff. I'm with the Maternal and Child Health Bureau here at HRSA, and we are one of the funders of this wonderful ambassador program. So we just want to thank you for your interest, and I look forward to hearing the updates today from Adrienne and others.
Great. Well, thanks, Robin. So I know that we just did sort of an impromptu, informal roll call, but it sounds like we had about 23 states on the line with us today, some new states and some states that have been funded previously. So that's great. We welcome all of you to today's call. What we wanted to do was review the eligibility criteria for this round of the ambassadors. As Katie mentioned, this is the fourth cohort that we're about to launch into, so we're really excited to have so much interest in the ACT Early Ambassador program. Just to give you a highlight on what's changed in this particular round, this time around, we will be looking to fund up to 30 ACT Early Ambassadors, and what's different this time is that you can be a representative of a state or a territory, as well as an organization. So this time around, eligible organizations are able to apply. Now, to be an eligible organization, you need to have multi-state or national reach, and you need to have the ability to influence change within your organization. So I wanted just to point that out. The other tweak we've made this time is in larger states where you have populations that are larger, according to the 2010 census, you can have up to two ambassadors selected. So that's another change as well. And we also wanted to clearly state that those who have already served as ambassadors are eligible to apply again this time around. Let me pause there to see if, Katie, if you had anything to add on that.
No, I don't. I don't. Given that we're going to be funding a few more this year, we're excited to have a good mix of, you know, potentially returning ambassadors as well as new ambassadors, and it will be a competitive review as always. But no, I think that's about it. I could direct you all to some of the qualifications that we list in the application, and those can be found on page 2.
Yeah, it starts on page 2 of the RFA.
Page.
Continue.
Hold on a second. I got my papers mixed up here. Okay, I'm sorry. Page 6, under qualifications. And those are some qualifications related to having knowledge and expertise in child development and or systems that support early identification and referral for developmental delay or disability, having good presentation and communication skills, being familiar with the Act Early Initiative, and some of those types of activities going on in your state, and being connected to or familiar with state or territory programs that serve young children and their families. As well as having a strong interest in working with their state or territory Act Early team if there's one that exists currently. And I think a sort of practical eligibility requirement as well is that you're from an entity that has someone that can serve as a fiscal agent, as that's a required part of your application as well.
Yep. Thanks, Katie. So I wanted to also just kind of back up and talk through a little bit of the responsibilities. We have them laid out in the RFA starting on page 3 and continuing on to page 4. The goals are similar to the last couple rounds. We changed it in this particular round. It's a 24-month commitment, so I did want to point that out. For this particular wave, we would be starting in June, and then the commitment would run through May 2016. We do have a 2-day training orientation for new ambassadors that's scheduled for early June, June 3rd and 4th. So we would want you to consider that as you're putting together your application. So it's a different time frame in terms of the commitment you would be making. And otherwise, the reporting, it's pretty similar to what it has been in the past. We do strongly encourage ambassadors to participate in ongoing ambassador calls with AUCD, CDC, and HRSA. We do those every other month. We also require that you stay on time with your progress reports. We have 3 progress reports that we would require throughout the term, and then 1 final report of your overall activity. And as Katie was saying, we look to the ambassador to really be an integral part of your Act Early State team and any Act Early State activities that you have going on. So I just wanted to highlight some of those differences in this particular round of the Act Early Ambassador application. One other change in terms of the stipend and the support is with regard to the organizational ambassador opportunity. For organizations that may want to apply to serve as an ambassador, you would be eligible for the $4,000 annual stipend, just as individual ambassadors would be. However, you would be able to indicate on your application whether or not you intend to take that stipend or whether you would go ahead and essentially yield that back to the program and not take it. So that's an option that you have as an organizational applicant. So I wanted to point that out, that that's a difference this time as well. Other financial or reporting requirements and other grant agreement updates include that we really just want to make sure things are submitted on time. We want to make sure that we are really clearly observing and looking at the ambassador achievements and the lessons learned as they happen, so that we're able to take those lessons learned at state level and harness them and apply them at other national conferences or just other forums as appropriate. So that's something that we're going to pay special attention to in this particular for this particular cohort. Other things regarding to the mechanism for this, as Katie said, we do require that all ambassadors have a fiscal agent. Now, that fiscal agent has to be an entity that can receive the funds, the $4,000 stipend, and be responsible for submitting progress reports. So as part of your application, you'll be required to include the signature of your fiscal agent representative. And that could be either, you know, you said a LEND, Title V program, as long as it is an organizational entity that can receive the funds and be responsible for processing them, that's fine. We really don't have a preference on what the entity is exactly. I did also want to specify that the $4,000 stipend is an annual stipend. So since this is a 24-month, two-year commitment, that's a total of $8,000 for the total stipend. And I think that was all I had on this piece. Any questions on that? Or Katie, did you have anything to add first? Let me ask you that.
No, thank you.
Okay. All right. So moving forward then, in terms of the timeline, we are requiring that applications are all received by April 1st. That's not an April Fool's joke. It really is April 1st, close of business. And we're requiring that they're submitted by email to myself, Adrienne Griffin. And my email is on the RFA as well, but it's A Griffin with an E-N. So it's A-G-R-I-F-F-E-N at AUCD.org. Because my family's Welsh, not Irish. It's an E-N. A lot of people freak out and say we sent it, but they misspelled my last name. So make sure you get that spelling correct so the application does go through. And then the review time frame, we're hoping, and actually if you are joining us just now, you can hit *2 to mute your line, and then you can hit *2 again during our open Q&A period to open up your line. Thank you so much. The applications, we want everything to be electronic. I've gotten some questions in the past about can part of the application be faxed to us and part of it be emailed. No, we want everything to be electronic. You can either make things a PDF or scan it and send it to us that way, but we do require all of your application items to be sent electronically. I did also want to review what makes a complete application. We'll be looking for the application on pages 8 and 9 to be filled out in their entirety. We really do look at this information, so it needs to be filled out in its entirety. We also want you to pay attention to the requirements of attaching your bio, and we really want the bio just to be a short bio. It does not need to be a full-length CV or a lengthy resume statement. It really is just a short bio, so 200 words or less is what we're asking for. In terms of the personal statement and plan, we're looking to see the beginnings of what you would address as serving as an ACT Early ambassador. And that's where you can get into a little bit more detail with some specifics around one or two activities that you would aim to accomplish as an ambassador. We're also looking to see how you would leverage your network and your connections within your state, within your organizations that you work with, how those networks would further the ambassador program. And we're also looking to see a little bit about who you are and how this fits within your personal and professional goals. So that statement is really key. And again, we're not looking for anything super long. It really is just a 500 word or less item for the application. We also would like to see a letter of support. We want to make sure that you have support from your organization to participate in this endeavor. So we look for a one-page letter of support from your particular program director or supervisor, just showing that they're aware of this and they are supportive of your potential serving as a ACT Early ambassador. And then we're also looking for a letter of support from your ACT Early state team, just to show that your state team is aware of your efforts. Now, if there's no state team in your area or if there's not one that's currently active, that's okay. Just make sure that you indicate that. There's a checkbox that you can fill out on page 9 of the application. Just make sure that you check that if that's the case. But we do ask that you do your due diligence and make sure that you research it and make sure that you are in contact with the current state team if there is one. I think those were the highlights that I had for making sure that your application is complete. Only complete applications will be reviewed and scored, so it's really important that all of these areas are addressed prior to submitting. So those were all of the comments that I had. Katie, unless you had anything else, I wanted to open it up for general questions and answers, if that's okay.
That sounds great. Thanks.
Okay. And we had one that came in beforehand, but let me just announce to everyone, if you want to go ahead and voice a question, you can hit *2 to unmute your line if you happen to be on mute. Otherwise, maybe you're just being super quiet and you can go ahead and announce your question. That's fine. Do we have any questions from folks on the line?
Yes, this is Michelle from Maryland, and I'm brand new. What can the stipend be used for?
That's a good question. So I can start, and then Katie, feel free to jump in, or Robin, if you feel free to jump in if you'd like. We're looking for the stipend to support your ambassador work, whatever that entails for you and for your organization. That might mean a piece of an FTE. That might mean perhaps a little travel around the local vicinity within your state that might involve pulling together a local meeting. We're really looking for it to support your ambassador goals, specifically as you've delineated them in your work plan in your state. So it's pretty broad, but purposefully so that it's really able to help you and facilitate your work in your state.
Okay, so sounds good. A
couple of other examples I could offer. Some ambassadors have used in the past, have used parts of their stipend to support some printing locally of either Learn the Science Act Early materials or even things like reprinting their ambassador business cards. Things like that. If you are hosting meetings and you have expenses related to, you know, setting up meetings or securing meeting space, if you need to register for a local conference where you'd like to present about Learn the Science Act Early or some of your ambassador work, those are some other examples.
And if I could just add one other question on that, because I'm going to have to get my fiscal agent to sign off, will I need to process like travel reimbursements, things like that, that will go toward that fund, or how do you like that to be fiscally accounted for?
That's also a very good question. Thank you for that, Michelle. We require that the backup be submitted to us quarterly, and we would reimburse that to you. But we look to make sure that you have all of that documentation. So we would just ask that you're keeping all of your receipts and all of those purchase orders in good order, that we're able to clearly follow them and then release the funds to you.
Okay, this sounds great.
Thanks. We did have one other question that was received in advance. I'll give everybody on the line another minute or two to mull this over and think if you have other questions. The question that came to us in advance was, can you give me any advice regarding profession and or the type of person that might be a successful applicant? And I know Katie and I, we had been talking about this and thought that we would bring it up in today's forum so that it would benefit all of you and perhaps we could have a bigger discussion around it. So Katie, I didn't know if you wanted to jump in on that one.
Sure. And I would just, I would say the bulk of this answer really lies within the application and on starting on page 6 under those qualifications that I reviewed when we first started. I would say the heart of that is that what we said was most important, that it's an opportunity to identify individuals who share Learn the Signs Act, really commitment to improving systems and outcomes. So I think the successful candidate will be able to express in their personal statement and in their bio that they are well positioned to influence systems change and collaboration, that they are a well connected individual that will go a long way towards helping them have a good sense of what types of goals need to be completed in their states and give them and put them in a good position to complete them through collaboration with lots of different groups. As well as the ability to create change within their own system and potentially influence programs to integrate Learn the Signs Act early, programs that serve young children and their families. So I think those are some of the sort of standout things that we'll be looking for as we review the personal statements and bios.
Thanks, Katie.
This is Steve from Indiana. And I'm trying to think through how to address the letter from the Act Early team, because in our state, there's a state agency that has been providing some funding to support our interagency Indiana team, and they just are now reviewing proposals for who would be the lead for that. And I don't know who that's going to be by the time this is due. So is it okay if I get like a letter from a colleague who's on that to say that I've been participating? I'm thinking like, how am I going to do that? Because this is in flux right now in our state, just by chance.
Yes, Steve, thanks for sharing that. I think it would be important just to document that's the state of affairs right now in your state, you know, that it's in flux, and to clearly document that in the letter of support. I think I'll respond to this, and then Katie and Robin, please feel free if you disagree to interject. But I think you can't control all of the parameters here, and we understand that there may be.
Hard as I've tried, yeah.
I know you try, but you know there may be some things beyond your control. But I think it's important just to document that. We're looking for evidence of a connection with the state team so that you're really able to leverage your networks and create systems change to the extent that a colleague can document that there is a state team, that it's going through this transition phase, and that you are indeed one of the collaborators with the state team, that would be really important. And I think that would be sufficient. But let me also defer to Katie and to Robin to see if you have other thoughts.
Yeah, that's good to me as well. I was thinking about the group who's making the decision about who will lead that team would comprise the type of folks that could potentially write a letter on your behalf.
Okay.
Just saying this is where we are and that we support your nomination as a Act Early ambassador.
Okay. Thank you.
Hi, this is Anne from Connecticut. How are you?
Good, thank you.
I have two questions. I'll start with the easier one. In looking at the timeline, I see that there is a training in Atlanta June 3rd and 4th, and then there is the an optional meeting in Washington in November 2014, and then the ambassador refresher training back in Georgia. Is the training in Georgia separate from the $4,000 a year that is part of the Act Early Ambassador application?
Yeah, thank you for asking that clarifying question. Yes, it's separate, and that comes from a separate line item that AUCD would sponsor. So you do not need to account for any travel dollars within your $4,000 stipend. We actually have a separate travel line, and we will sponsor your travel to that training in Atlanta on June 3rd and June 4th.
And the refresher training the following June.
Yes.
And we could try to find other funding sources to attend the Washington meeting, AUCD, November 10th.
Correct.
Okay. May I ask my second question?
Sure, go ahead.
Great. So with $4,000 a year and just coming back from AmChip, I heard about unbelievable, wonderful things that ACT Early ambassadors have been doing. But I've also just had been working on a grant, and it had a limited amount of funding, and the grant funders gave us clear direction to be to really try to be honest or thinking about how far we can go with that funding source, that they wanted us to be, you know, thinking about it in a, I don't know if I'm choosing the words properly, logical or meaningful way. So is there a part of this, I know that you gave clear direction, Katie, as to the type of relationships and knowledge people have about what's going on within their state or within their environment. But are you guys going to be reviewing this with a realistic lens, or knowing that it is a limited amount of funding, how big or small do you want us to make this?
This is Katie. I'd be glad to take that. I think anyone who's worked with Learn the Signs ACT Early before has an appreciation that we appreciate that this is a very small amount of money, and lots of our grant awards are very small amounts of money. So we fully understand some of the limitations around that, and we encourage our folks, you know, a lot of folks want to try to save the world with a small amount of money, and instead we encourage folks to really think practically, okay, what are the baby steps that you're going to be able to take over the next year? And how are you going to be able to use this little bit of money to help you do that? But I think that's also why having our ambassadors be folks who are very well connected gives them sort of a leg up, that they don't need the money as much as people who are not as well connected and don't already have well-established relationships with other groups, and maybe part of initiatives that have some funding from other sources as well that could be pulled into collaborative efforts. So yes, we're very realistic that this is a small amount of money, and we appreciate folks who can be very focused and clear about what they can achieve and what they will achieve with this little bit amount of money.
Thank you.
And can we get general ACT Early information from you without having to spend into our stipend for that, like the cards and things?
The Learn the Signs ACT Early materials, mm-hmm. You, as an ambassador, you would be sort of put on our VIP list, so you would be able to get more copies of items than the average person, but still there is a limit. Which is unfortunate, but it's a practical reality because our printing budgets are shrinking as well. Okay. So some ambassadors who've been successful in the past, you know, have figured out ways to maybe use a little bit of their stipend towards printing, but to, as always, tap into their networks and their connections to bring people together, to bring little bits of money together to print more materials locally. And especially in those cases, we would encourage folks to customize the materials with local information, which goes a long way. So you'll, as an ambassador, you'll be able to get more print materials, more Learn the Signs ACT Early materials, but not an unlimited amount, unfortunately.
All right, thank you.
Hi, this is Nancy Lewis. I have a quick question. I'm wondering if you could talk about the panel of reviewers.
Sure, Nancy. This is Adrienne. I'll take that, and then Katie, please feel free to chime in. It's a group of reviewers from MCHB, CDC, AECD, as well as AmChip. So it's a diverse group. And that we all have had previous experience with the ACT Early effort, whether it has been through the past ambassador program or the campaign overall. Katie, I don't know if you want to add anything to that.
No, nothing to add.
Okay. So it's a review panel who are intimately familiar with the ACT Early initiative overall.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Sure.
This is Sandy Magana, and I have a question. Is this initiative only concerned with early detection? Are you also concerned about early access to actual treatments and services? Because, I mean, one issue is detection, but if kids don't have anywhere to go to get, you know, to follow up, that's a big issue, or coordination with that.
I'd be glad to jump in. This is Katie again. As we kind of explain on the first page of the ACT Early, about the ACT Early program, we're definitely interested. Our focus of our educational materials, so the Learn the Signs ACT Early campaign, are really around developmental monitoring, reaching out to parents. But the ACT Early initiative is also about connecting systems that identify children early, as well as link them to appropriate services when there is a concern about development. So we're very much interested in both sides of that. And I think what you can do as a potential ambassador is identify, okay, where can I make the most difference? And where is my state or my organization right now? And where can I make the biggest difference playing this role?
Mm-hmm.
And express that to us in your personal statement.
Okay, great.
Hi, this is Stacy from Rhode Island. I just had a quick question. If you decline the stipend, do you still need a fiscal agent to sign the application?
So ambassadors who will be representing an organization that has multi-state or national reach, they are the ones that are eligible to, in effect, waive the stipend or decline the stipend. And I guess in that case, they would not need a fiscal agent. Do you agree, Adrian?
Yeah, we need to be super clear that the organizational entity is declining the stipend. But we also still would want to make sure that you have the other required letter of support indicating that you have organizational buy-in and support to serve as an ambassador. Does that make sense?
Yes. So if I was applying for a state health department, I wouldn't be able to decline the stipend?
No.
Okay.
You would be considered a state ambassador.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Adrian, this is Joanne from Hawaii. We had talked earlier about the indirect rate and a cap. I know my institution is going to try to charge an indirect on this. And you mentioned that AUCD has a 16% cap on subcontracts. Can you send something in writing?
I definitely can, and perhaps we can make that an addendum as part of the follow-up FAQs for this call. Just for others on the line, just to let you know, this was a question that Joanne had submitted the other day. Our association, AUCD, we cap any indirects that our subawards, which the stipend technically would be a subaward, we cap all indirects, so you cannot go above 16%. And we do that to preserve the program dollars so that you're spending more of it on the intended program rather than on overhead. However, I do know that sometimes that's a sticking point for some institutions that have a higher indirect rate. So I'd be happy to put out our memo on that and make that an addendum to the opportunity because we want to make sure that the stipend is being used for ACT Early Ambassador programmatic issues.
So, Adrian, this is Anne Garfinkel from Montana, and I think that that would be a great thing because I won't have any problem with our physical agent using that cap as long as it's written in the application and the addendum would be considered that. If it's not, then it's a kind of a fight.
No, so we don't want anyone
that.
To have to fight. Yeah, we don't want anyone to have a fight unnecessarily. We can definitely
it doesn't look good
that.
When you wear your tiara and sash to have fights.
Our ambassadors are beautiful people. We would never do that.
It's not in the description of qualifications.
Right.
This is Deborah from Nevada. Do you have, what is the distribution of professions that are now ambassadors?
That's a good question.
Yeah, I was just thinking, I have to think about that.
I don't know how to answer that right now. We've got, a couple of MDs and professor folks. I don't know if I can come up with a great answer to that right now. Those are not qualifications to be a physician or a professor. That's how it shook out for a few folks.
Okay.
But really, it's about being in a position where you're very well connected. So I don't know what more I could say on that. I'm a little underprepared for that one.
If the only thing I would add, this is Adrian, I would just add that you may want to check out the bios of the past cohorts of ambassadors. Those are all available at AUCD's Act Early ambassador section. So if you go to AUCD.org/Act Early and then check out the ambassador section, there are a couple links there to bios of past waves of ambassadors and past cohorts. I think that would give you a snapshot of, typical ambassador. And I think the truth is there is no typical ambassador. It's a diverse group. And I think that's part of what makes it so incredibly strong and talented as a program. So I know that's not really specifically answering your question, but it's a diverse group and it's a blend of professionals. We've had therapists, physicians, we've had early educators, just a little of everything professionally in the mix. So I hope that helps.
Have you ever had parents?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Have you ever had state health departments or people
yes.
who work
yes.
within them?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, thank you very much. That's a great idea to go check out the bios of past and current ambassadors. Great idea, Adrian. I wish I thought of it.
No, that's why we're tag teaming this.
And this is Jennifer from Oklahoma, and I just have additional budget questions. Are there any constraints on paying like a speaker or consultant or and I heard you say something about being able to pay an FTE, which I wasn't sure if you were able to do that in the past, but are there any kind of budget constraints or things that we cannot pay for?
Yeah, we're really, a lot of that's tied to the work plan that you propose or your different key ideas of what you would try to accomplish, your one or two activities that you hope to accomplish as an Act Early ambassador. We're looking for you not to deplete your entire stipend, in like consulting speaker fees, let's say. We really want to make sure that your stipend is able to sustain your efforts over this this year period. I should also say that we're looking, for you to think through like how it will, be able to, how that $4,000 will be able to sustain your efforts over the year, not just be spent down like right away in the beginning. We want to make sure that it's supporting you and whatever it is you're proposing. So like, for example, if you are doing something around, and I'm making this up, but like tailored outreach to Head Starts in your region, and you really want to do tailored materials with your information and specific hotline phone numbers for your state. That's fine, and that might be a chunk of your stipend, but right. then we just want to make sure that you're explaining that and okay. not, you know, just diverting all of the funds into one area without rationale.
Okay, thank you very much.
Hi, this is Anne from Connecticut again, and I'm thinking through, do you have scenarios where an ambassador uses a fiscal agent who might not, would be part of like the Actorly team, or I'm just thinking through, is there any creative organizational, I think there might be some Actorly team members who are more flexible on what the in-kind would be versus larger, more less flexible organizations.
I guess my response to that, Anne, would be that it's we do not dictate who the fiscal entity needs to be because we want it to be flexible. And if on your end, if you're able to explore with an organization that will not, you know, perhaps take such a high indirect rate or perhaps be able to contribute other in-kind dollars to it, all the better. But we leave that really at your discretion.
Thank you.
These are really great questions. Any other questions that come to mind?
Adrienne, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Can you hear me?
Now I can hear you,
hello?
Yes.
Okay, sorry. I was like trying to figure out whether I was muted or not. This is Gail Children from Wisconsin. I might have missed you saying this because I missed the very beginning of the call, but you talked about a letter from the state team. If you yourself are the lead for the Actorly state team, can you get a letter from like another, I assume you don't want a letter from me. So would you get a letter from someone else on the team, like say our Title V folks are on the team, so I could have the Title V department have someone there write it?
That's a great
yeah.
idea.
Okay.
A colleague is just fine. A colleague is just fine. Yeah, we're just looking for that letter to make the case and to support and verify that you've been active in the state team. So a letter from a colleague that's
okay.
been very involved is just fine.
Okay, perfect. I thought if I wrote it myself, you might think I was making it up.
Yeah, that might raise some flags. Yeah.
Thanks.
Try not to write your own letter of support. It's a good rule of thumb for any grant opportunity. All right. Other questions? Or comments?
You don't have to say who you are or what organization you're from, but I'm curious if there's anyone on the line who plans to apply as an organizational ambassador. You can just say yes. Okay, I was just curious.
Okay. And I also wanted to go back to, I had done a little roll call back in the beginning, but I know a number of other folks joined us, and it looks like we might actually have something like 38 or so contacts on the line with us, and we had thought we had 23 states with us in the beginning. So I'm just curious. I just want to do a real quick state roll call. I'll read off the states that I have. And if you don't hear your state, just let us know you're here, okay? So I had Oklahoma, Nebraska, Rhode Island, Ohio, Connecticut, Montana, New Mexico, Minnesota, Colorado, Kansas, New Jersey, Indiana, Nevada, Maryland, North Carolina, Alabama, Arizona, Delaware, Utah, California, Hawaii, New Hampshire, Illinois, Vermont, and Wisconsin. If you did not hear your state, please just let us know that you're here.
Hi, it's Elaine from Massachusetts.
Florida, I didn't hear Florida.
I didn't hear New Jersey.
Yep, New Jersey, got ya. Thank you. Well, thank you. That's helpful. It's helpful for us, too, as we're gauging potential number of applications and putting together our review panel. So thank you for that. Appreciate that. Any other questions or comments before we wrap up? Okay. Well, then I just want to do a real quick timeline reminder again. Right now, this is, the open opportunity period. All applications are due no later than close of business on April 1st. We actually had some question about what we mean by close of business. We mean by 5 p.m. Eastern time. So by 5 p.m. our time here in the East Coast to have your applications in. We do want them all electronically. And we will be working very diligently throughout the month of April to review and score and get back to you. When we receive your application, I will send an acknowledgement that we have received it. If you do not get that notification of receipt of application within like a day or two, just shoot me another email just to make sure that it came through. I want to make sure that everyone gets that notification of receipt within a day or two. So we'll be doing our best to monitor that in the next few weeks as applications start to come in. We'll be reviewing over the month of April, and then our goal is to announce all of the ambassador awards no later than May 1st, and then we'll have our kickoff orientation call on May 6th. So that's the time frame on the close-in horizon that I wanted to review with all of you. And that was all I had for today. So unless there's any other final questions, going once, going twice, any other burning questions? Okay. Well, then thank you very much. We wish you luck with your applications, and we look forward to collaborating with you in the future. I want to thank everybody for taking the time to join us today.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
The organizer has disconnected. The call will now end.